What?
At this time, please listen to the most powerful men in Canada as they discuss top tech. This week, iPad apps.
Do we want to talk about iPad apps, though?
I'm going to throw down a marker there, because that's an introduction.
Well, we spent a good little chunk of time talking about an iPad, but of course we all have different ways of how we want to get stuff done. And as we know now, Ian, you're a very creative user of the iPad.
Thank you, Beach.
And I am very not a creative user. I'm using it for what everyone thought it was for. I'm using it as a consumption device. I've not yet had a chance to be creative at all with it.
Let's start at one end of the spectrum and go the other way. So why don't we start with you, Beej, about some of the consumption stuff that you're using and one or two of your favorite apps for that.
Yeah, let's find out what you use, and then we can tell you where you can get more use.
Well, we'll tell you where you're wrong. We'll just tell you how you're
wrong. That is a lot better. That seems to be my lot in life. The first app, though, that I want to mention, I just recently discovered App Shopper. That's the first thing you should install on your iPad. When an app has been updated, I don't care about that. When prices have gone up, and I don't really care about that, but it'll also let you filter by price drops, and it's constantly scanning the App Store to see, okay, what's actually fallen in price, and it gives you a nice long list of it, and you can say, well, I'm on my iPad, so only show me iPad apps, or only show me Universal apps, or any of those kind of things. And it will show you the price drop. You can go look at it. You can read the blurbs from it without having to go to the App Store. You can look at all the pictures for it without having to go to the App Store immediately. And it has a Want It button and an Own It button. So I have a lot of stuff that I've put in my want list that are things that I'm like, I want to keep an eye on this so that I know whether or not I should spend money on it, because I'm profoundly cheap. I won't even spend $3 on Byword because I can't justify to myself doing any writing on my iPad yet that I'm like, well, I'm not going to drop $3 on a really good writing app apparently because I'm that cheap. But other things that I just want to keep an eye on, like, is this thing going to drop in price at some point? And then maybe that's when I feel like I'm going to pick it up, because I'm not willing to pay full price for anything because I clearly don't care about developers. But App Shopper is a really good app for it. It feels very clean. It feels very native. It doesn't have a bunch of ridiculous ads or anything else in it. It's basically just scroll through it and find all the apps that you want to buy. A couple times a day, pick up my iPad and scroll through the list and say, oh, there's something that's now free. Oh, there's something that's now 99 cents. I'll add a want to that so I can make a decision about it later. I'll just comb through it and then go back and say, what do I want to buy today?
Okay, so Beej, you actually used half of your allotted time to tell us that your favorite thing to do on an iPad so far is to screw developers out of money.
Yep, that's my favorite thing to do on an iPad so far. Because other than that, it's just reading.
Well, let me tell you why you're wrong and what there is to do on an iPad.
Good.
First and number one, goddammit, draw something.
Oh, God, let's not talk about draw something.
It's free. It's fun. It's a game. It's something else to do, okay? Yeah. Done with that. Everyone's heard about draw something by now. I hope they have. If they haven't, get on it. It's probably worth just checking out.
I paid for draw something before Zynga bought them. Now I feel a little bit bad about that, but
I don't, because I gave them money just in time.
Yeah, me too.
Here's another good one that just came out, Paper.
Mm-hmm.
These are actually, they're ex-Microsofties from the guys who are behind The Courier. And it's a drawing, note-taking application. It's free to start with, but you can upgrade it with in-app purchases for different types of brushes. Here's what I like about it, though, is that instead of just showing you these brushes and showing you what they look like, giving you no way of looking at how they'll feel, they give you a tiny little area inside the in-app purchases section to give that brush a try, see what it feels like, see if you like the way it works before you actually end up buying it.
I gotta try that.
That's really nice. I will admit I have downloaded Paper, but I have not tried it yet. I've been using a drawing application called Adobe Ideas, which is worth mentioning. I really like it. That drawing project that I did for a few months before Christmas, I used Adobe Ideas, and Adobe Ideas was free, and the only cost was an in-app purchase to buy the ability to add layers, which I found exceptionally good. Their way of doing layers is really nice. They've just made the updated version of Adobe Ideas to include that layers. So even if you were afraid of paying the $2 to buy the layers feature, you don't have to worry about that anymore. Adobe Ideas is free and it's a great drawing program, and I will be trying Paper out too.
And I don't think I've spent more than, on average, $5 per an app. I think the most expensive one that I've ever bought...
Pages, Keynote, Numbers?
No, Pages, Keynote, Numbers. Those were all $9 each. Okay, I was a little bit wrong there. I'm actually using your free shopper app to look up what I think was the most expensive.
While you're looking that up, I should also mention that if anyone is interested in doing more reading on their iPad, the iBooks application does not support most styles of ebooks that you can borrow from your library, because now you can borrow ebooks from libraries. And from the library that I work for, we're on the EBSCO system, and you have to check in your local area to see what they use. But go talk to your librarian about getting ebooks and getting them onto your iPad, because there are ways to do it. The two apps that will work with any Adobe Digital Editions DRM'd up ebook are Bluefire and Textr, T-X-T-R, Textr. So Bluefire apparently is really, really good. I have yet to install it and actually take an ebook out from my library. That's just because I just got my library card after 2 weeks of working at the library.
Here's the most expensive app I bought. Screens VNC, which is a fantastic VNC client for the iPad and iPhone.
And how much did it run you?
It was $20.
Ah, but it's worth it because then you can control your Mac, right?
It was necessary for me, and for those times when I can't VNC into my machine, I downloaded Prompt from our good friends over at Panic Incorporated.
What is Prompt?
Prompt is an SSH client.
Oh, really?
I actually bought that after I bought Colloquy, the IRC program.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now I can SSH into a different server to use my Urkel IRC client on a server on my iPad.
You're just making words up now.
IRCLE.
I am clearly using this thing wrong.
You did that for Desert Bus, though, right?
Yes, I did.
Yes, okay.
Actually, these programs were part of the reason why I didn't have to take a laptop along with me to Desert Bus.
Mm-hmm. There's getting to be so many great tools available now for iPad, and to a lesser extent to Android as well, that means that you can actually do a lot of the things that you didn't think that you were going to be able to do on your iPad or tablet that you would have to have a laptop for, and you're able to take your tablet with you and be able to do all the things and not have to bring two things anymore. I'm planning a trip, coming to see you guys in April.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hey, you'll be able to use iPhoto.
Yes.
iPhoto to take care of all of your photos.
iPhoto is a great product. Some of the other amazing free products that I've used, and I'm sure you guys use as well. Flipboard, Beach, I know you use that. That's a great program. Flipboard turns your Facebook, your Twitter feed, your RSS feeds, or anything else that's kind of like a feed.
Newspaper feeds.
And turns them into a beautiful magazine that you can flip through. It's an amazing product. And it's really one of those products, like many of the things actually on tablets, it's hard to describe until you actually see and interact with it and actually using your finger to flip through it and how great it is. The only limitation that I find kind of odd in Flipboard that I would like to find a way, and maybe I'm just using Flipboard wrong, I would like to have all of those things integrated into one, so I have one giant feed with all the stuff in it, so I don't have to click on my Facebook and then get out of it and then go into my Twitter and then get out of it and then go into my RSS feed. I'd like it all just to be one giant magazine.
Well, I says put in a feature request. Oh, hey, Animoog just got an update as we were talking about this. Oddly enough, a synthesizer application that was used in the composition of the score for Mass Effect 3.
Really? Oh. I love that program. My wife hates it.
Mass Effect 3 or Animoog?
Animoog.
And I would like to... We talked a bit about text editors earlier. If you're interested in finding out what the best text editor is for you, because there are so many out there with so many features like text expander support, Dropbox support, multi-markdown support, have a look at Brett Terpstra's website. And he's just put together a huge chart of all of the iOS text editors. So just search for iOS text editor chart on Google and I'm sure you'll find it.
Byword is also another good one that I just got recently and quite like.
Byword, I just upgraded to Notezy for my NV alt syncing.
I don't even know what that is, but it sounds good.
And Goodreader. Goodreader is $5 you need to spend if you own an iPad or an iPhone.
What does Goodreader do for me things won't? Tell us, Uncle Ian.
Goodreader connects to everything. Goodreader connects to FTP, to Dropbox, to Google Docs, to SSH.
Does it connect to iCloud?
It connects to iCloud. Ooh. It connects to your Gmail. It connects to your Exchange server. And once it connects there, then you can do anything with the files you find there. You can download them. You can read them. You can take PDFs and turn them into Word docs. You can go
You can draw on them.
You can go the other way.
Huh.
Basically, the perfect file conversion, reading, editing, and resending application.
Very interesting. And what's that called again?
Goodreader.
I will check that out.
It's got a terrible icon, but it's a fantastic program.
And of course, a one that everyone should have is Evernote. I find Evernote exceptionally useful. For years on my iPhone, I used the Notes application, but it didn't sync really very well with anything. And it was limited to two terrible looking fonts. It didn't allow me to put any useful information in there. I couldn't record sounds in there. I couldn't put pictures in there. I couldn't put web links in there. Evernote allows me to do all those things very, very easily, and it syncs between all my different devices. It has a lot of really great expandability with all sorts of add-ons that you can get for Evernote for doing certain things like recipes and blogs and stuff like that. And it's got a lot of really cool integration things, but I just use it just for taking notes. You know, if I need to remember something, I can quickly take a picture and put it in there and write a note, put a web link. It's great.
Speaking of Evernote properties, I'd like to bring up Sketch, which is available not just for the iPad, but also for the Mac, which integrates with Evernote, but is a fantastic photo annotation program. Super fast, super easy to use, and creates really good looking annotated pictures. And it's probably the easiest way to make an image macro.
Yeah, and actually something else we should mention, because I didn't think I'd fall in love with the way that I did, and yet I'm still too cheap to part with $3. Tweetbot is probably the best Twitter client I've ever run into. I've only ever really tried the free ones, and then Ian had convinced me you should really try Tweetbot. And when Twitter updated their interface, Tapbot said, hey, guess what? We're going to put ours on sale for $1. I'm like, well, I can't say no to that. And I bought it for $1 for my iPhone. I am constantly in Twitter. That's if you use Twitter. And you might just, maybe you don't use Twitter. But if you do use Twitter, you owe it to yourself to at least pay the $3 and do the upgrade.
And it's less than the cost of a hamburger, to be quite honest.
And most coffees.
Two other apps in my dock, actually, along with a Mail, Tweetbot, and Facebook. Reader, if you do any RSS reading that syncs to Google, Reader is the program to use. I am a huge NetNewsWire fan on the desktop.
Yes, me as well.
But on the iOS platform, NetNewsWire just doesn't quite cut it compared to Reader.
Let's be clear, it's not good. Reader is one thing, and that's good.
Yes.
Reader, but Reader for iPad is R-E-E-D-E-R, Reader.
You are correct, yes.
And it's also, they've got a client for the iPhone that I really love.
And it's fantastic. Now, you've done your RSS reading, you've done your Twitter reading. I'm speeding through those most of the time, so what do I do when I find something I want to read?
Oh, you want to read it later, don't you?
No, God, no. I send it to Instapaper.
Yes.
Yeah, Instapaper is really great. You can get web applets for your browser so that you can be looking at a website and decide you want to read it more in depth later, maybe on your iPad or your iPhone or on your computer later.
Now, Apple does actually include some functionality called the reading list, which syncs up between your Mac and all of your iOS devices. But if you want to be able to, I guess, have a little bit more of a pro experience in reading things later, yeah, there are free alternatives, Read It Later and Readability, but, they've got some questionable business practices, and Read It Later has some questionable future, but Instapaper is definitely my choice.
I downloaded the free client for Instapaper and used that for a little while. I could never find a reason for myself to upgrade to it just yet, but the problem is now I'm hemming and hawing, and I feel like I might end up dropping that $5.
Oh, the reason you want it then? I can give you two reasons. Number one, Retina display support. Number two, fantastic fonts.
Yeah, I was reading something about that recently, about font support in a bunch of different iOS apps, and I think Marco Armont, the creator of Instapaper, was specifically talking about adding quite a lot better support for different fonts.
He's just actually added a bunch of fonts to the system, and they are spectacular. They are beautiful. See, it's worth the $5.
And another application that I do use a fair amount on the iPad is Skype. It's actually not the best app developed on the iPad. There's some glitchiness to it, but it's quite powerful, and it does the things I need to do when I want to do a quick video chat with someone who doesn't have FaceTime.
It's amazingly non-terrible, isn't it?
It is. I'm kind of pussyfooting around the fact that
it is
amazingly, that is the best way to describe it, is amazingly not terrible.
That's Skype to a T.
We should be very honest about is that it is the best way to do Skype on the iPad.
It is indeed.
Another way to do Skype. If you use Skype, then it's another way you can use Skype.
Yeah.
The interface is probably 10 times better, 100 times better than Skype 5.5.
Oh, and Beej, you like comics, don't you?
I love manga, yes.
Get Comic Zeal.
Comic Zeal.
Comic Zeal. It's a fantastic comic organization and reading program.
Oh, but I have to download them somewhere else and then sync them to the thing, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And you should be doing that anyway.
X Comics and Marvel and DC ones where you actually buy the comics within the app. Comixeal, you actually, it's for organizing your comics, and then you've got them from wherever other source you want through web pages or downloads or stuff that you've got on your own computer.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Manage them all through one application, and it is really, really nice.
As is always my thing, I do things a little different. My iPhone is jailbroken because I like free stuff, and I use MangaDL, but MangaDL is also available in the App Store, and it's only $3. So if you don't want to jailbreak your iPhone or your iPad or any of that kind of stuff, you can just go download MangaDL. It is far and away the best manga downloader and viewer, I think, available on the iOS platform, and it's one no one seems to have heard of. Everyone tries to go get Manga Rock or those other things.
I do have to give a disclaimer here, though, that all of these apps, except for Comixeal, do rely on external hosts of questionable legality.
Exactly.
For their manga, so you are at the mercy of both Apple finding out what these programs are for and manga publishers finding out about the sources that these manga are coming from. But anyway, I think we're certainly coming to the end of our list here. Johnny, do you have any apps that you definitely need to let us know about?
Well, I just thought that we had kind of left off one big large section of things that people like to do with their iPad, which is play games. We didn't really talk about that very much at all. We did mention Draw Something, which is amazing, and you should all get that. That's a really good app. I quite like Plants vs. Zombies is a great game. Beej, you mentioned in our last program about why someone would get an iPad and how it fits into your world and what it can do. And I started thinking about how games work and how so many of them are reliant on you using your mouse on a PC or a Mac as an abstraction for your hand.
Yes.
And you're controlling things that really, it would be so much easier just to touch your screen and move those things to one place to another. Plants vs. Zombies is a perfect example of that. You click on something and you put it somewhere. That's all you're doing. And mm-hmm. and abstracting that with a mouse actually puts an impediment to your enjoyment of it. And it also is so much more easy for someone who's never played games to pick up. But it doesn't make it less complicated in its gameplay. It just removes something that was unnecessary all along, which was this abstraction of the mouse. And Plants vs. Zombies is a perfect example of that. But there's others. All sorts of tower defense games use that really, really well. Board games are really great. Scrabble's awesome.
Oh, Ticket to Ride, Catan, Bang. The card game Bang has an iPad and several iPhone clients as well. Carcassonne, $10 for Carcassonne, $6 for Ticket to Ride on your iPad. You can't buy it for that in the stores.
And they're amazing experiences.
I think the thing you have to understand here is that games that are made for the iPad should be different than games that are made for mouse and keyboards.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of amazing games, a lot of amazing free games or very affordable games on the iPad, and those are just a couple of them.
To be quite honest, it's hard to forget.
It is true.
So with that, for the Most Powerful Men in Canada, my name is Ian Horner.
I'm Johnny Blakebrew.
And I don't know how to use an iPad. I'm Brendan Beach-Deary.
We'll see you next time.
The Most Powerful Men in Canada would love to hear from you. Please contact us by visiting our website at toptech.tiltyhouse.com if you have any comments or if there are any subjects you'd like us to cover in a future show.